about very significant times and dates throughout history that he's controlled, that he's done things in, that we all need to look at the whole history of the world and the 6,000 years and the coming of our Lord and how completely set up we are to do this.
Yeah.
I was just watching Prophecy Watchers, and I love Prophecy Watchers. I'm not mad at Prophecy Watchers. I just didn't like those two books. But they were talking about a lot of the things that are going on in the world as far as the wars that are being threatened, because Russia is threatening that they're going to invade Ukraine. The United States is saying if you do, it's going to be big consequences. And then all of a sudden, these unknown planes show up at night and they're striking Syria's, the Iran weapons in Syria, and strike, and they blew up a nuclear plant in Iran. And so Israel's bombing them. They're tired of letting everyone letting Iran do whatever they want to. And so we have a lot of wars and rumors of wars right in front of us. Amen. And I was telling Brett that, you know, when the Antichrist comes, he is coming almost as a hero. So something has to be going on for him to step into the world and say, I'm going to calm everything down, and we're going to change the way everything is, you know. And so that's what he's going to do. He's coming in. He's going to offer this peace deal. He's going to calm the world down, and everybody's going to see him as a hero and a Messiah figure. So seeing that the world is on the brink of going into war, just remember that tribulation, as excited as we are about rapture, there are not just there's not just a few million people that are going to die in the tribulation. There are billions that are going to die in the tribulation. I mean, if you say 1/4 of 7 billion people, you know, that's a lot of people. And so we are looking at the rapture happening, but we're looking at a whole lot of, the world's looking at a lot of very bad things that are going to happen during those 7 years. So what we want to look at today is the way God has controlled the world, things he has shown us in the world so we can see that God is the one who is controlling it all, okay? We should already know we're in the last days. And also, the reason I want you to know this, because I don't want people thinking like, oh, this delay is going to be so long. It's so far. It could be, the delay could happen like years away. And I'm like, no, stop. You have to stay within scripture. You have to stay within the guideline of what God has shown us. You can't start throwing prophecy way off into the future as if we have that much time. I mean, 70 years is 70 years, 80 years is 80 years, and we don't have anything further than that. You understand? We don't have a 90-year prophecy concerning the last days. So we're going to look at all of this. Okay, so the first thing we're going to look at is the 6,000-year count, okay? This is very important for this ministry, because this is the way this ministry started. If you don't have a copy of the 6,000-year count, you're kind of missing out on something very, very important. I have sent that 6,000-year count to every scholar, including Dan Mattson, who I thought would rip it apart And he just came back and said, you know, it's absolutely incredible that God would put 6,000 years in the Bible and map it out so you can count it. And he says, the only problem is that some people are going to think that Abraham was born in the 70th year, and he wasn't. He wasn't born until his dad was 130, but it was in the 70th year that he began to have three sons, okay? But Abraham was the last of those three sons. He said that's where people are going to get confused, but other than that, this is the count is just like, it's just on point. The other thing is that the count gives you prophecy. It tells you when Jesus was born. It tells you when Israel is going to be returned. It tells you when the last Jubilee is. So there was all this stuff inside of the 6,000 year count that I never looked at. I was just doing the count. I didn't know all of this stuff was in the Bible, or all of these prophecies was in the Bible. The first thing that I didn't know when I started the count was I started counting and I ended at 2017. So knowing that God's plan for man is a 6,000 year plan, the 7,000 is what we call the millennial reign. That's when Christ reigns and rules on the earth for 1,000 years. After the millennial reign, he releases Satan from his chain so that he can really destroy him. Mm-hmm. And then there you have, and then it says, then there's no more counting. So the 8,000 is no more counting. You're now in eternity. You don't need the sun and the moon and all this stuff to guide clocks and all of this stuff. There'll be no more counting after the millennium. But the 6,000 years is the plan leading up to salvation, because everything is going to happen in the 6,000th year, okay? So it began in 2017, but I want to show you, and I want to try to do a very good job of showing you plainly why the 6,000 year count is so important, okay? So if you look at your paper, it says here, these are the markers in the 6,000 year count that are very important. First, 6,000 years, that's the count. As you're counting, when you get to the 1948th year, this is when Abraham's father begins to have children, okay? And so knowing that Abraham is going to be the father of the Jewish nation, it was kind of, I didn't even notice this when I counted. I gave it to someone and they sent it back to me and said, this is crazy. Do you see here where it says that Abraham was born in 1948th year? And I went, it does? And he says, yeah. So he sent it back and he said, Abraham was born in the 1948th year. I understood what he was saying, but it just dawned on me because if the count starts at Adam and then it ends in and it goes up to 1948, that means when the second Adam comes into the world, which is Jesus, that means 1948 years later, you're going to have the rebirth of the nation of Israel, because Abraham was the father of the nation of Israel. So for God to balance out from the creation of Adam to Abraham, 1948 years in scripture, and you can count it, says, I already know what's going to happen in 1948. And we're talking about just the first 1948 years of man's existence on the earth. Okay. So the next very important number that comes out in the 6,000 year count is that Jesus Christ is born on the 3,983rd year of mankind. Why is that important? Some student tell me. Okay, huh? Fourth day. Because he's born 3,983rd year. Now, that means he's born 17 years before he legally can be a sacrificial lamb. Because no one, because you can't sacrifice a lamb until when? The fourth day. So if God is counting a day unto the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day, that means God is waiting 4 years before he can sacrifice his lamb. And so Jesus is born on the 3,983rd year. So how old is Jesus when we finally get to 4,000? 17. Now watch this scripture in Genesis chapter 37. And that's right underneath. It says, this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. So Joseph's ministry began when he was 17 years old. Is Joseph a typology of Jesus? Yes. So Jesus doesn't become a lamb until when? Till he's 17 years old. Because you can't kill a lamb until the 4,000th year. Amen. So at that time, now Jesus is legally can be a lamb. You understand? Where did we get that scripture from? Exodus chapter 12. Let's go there so you see. Because we want to go through this carefully, because I'm listening to a lot of biblical experts. And I say that, man. Someone put a thing, said, well, the Antichrist doesn't show up till the middle of the tribulation, so therefore there could be no rapture till the middle of the tribulation. And I was like, oh, it's just, but they've got a whole big website, and you know. So now this is where we get this from. Now, how do we know that God is counting time by 1,000 years? This is it. Here you go. It says, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be the first, is to be for you the first month of the year. The first month of the year. Tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Okay, now what's about to happen here? Why is everybody taking a lamb? Because they're about to come out of Egypt. And for them to come out of Egypt, God is telling each and every one of them to go out and take a lamb and keep this lamb. Now watch this. Let's continue. It says, tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of the month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Okay, let's go down to verse 6. Take care of them, meaning the lambs, until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. So, even though they took the lamb on the 10th, how many days did they have to wait till they could kill the lamb? 4 days. So therefore, God, you can see, now God is saying, I chose my lamb at the beginning of time, but I have to wait 4 God years. And what's a God? That's 1,000 years. So 4 days, a day unto God is as 1,000 years. God saying, I'm going to wait before I can kill my lamb. I'm telling you to wait 4 days before you kill your lamb. And now watch, I'm going to wait till the 4,000th year before I'm able to kill my lamb. You understand? So now we see that God is counting thousands, but in his own personal way, he's making sure that he keeps to this rule that I'm not going to kill my lamb until the fourth day.
Yeah.
Okay. So when Jesus is 17, like Joseph, the ministry begins and he's eligible to be a lamb. Amen. Now, as I'm doing a 6,000 year count, that means it's very important that I find out that Jesus is born in the 3,983rd year. Because if he's 17 years before 4,000, then that makes it perfect that his Because now, when we get to the 6,000th year, and when is the 6,000th year going to be? In 2017. You see that? The 6,000th year is not, oh, yes, 6,000 years, we're here. You know? No, the earth is not 6,000 years until 2017. And then we have the 120th Jubilee. When? In 2017. And so that was the end of the sixth year. Now, let's look at Revelation chapter 20 on your notes. I hope you guys got your notes. Where are the notes at, Pastor Ben?
Facebook.
On Facebook,
and,
right?
We sent it on Constant Contact.
Okay, praise God. So I want you to be looking at your notes, because I put this in here because this was one of the prophecies or the one of the fulfillments that God gave me. Because God has been like, look, I'm guiding you through this, okay? You're not that smart, like you're coming up with all this great information. It's like I'm guiding you through this and I'm giving you stuff. You know, if you get insulted by God, it's not really insult. He's just telling you the truth. Like, I know you played football. Just hang in there, big fella, like that, you know? So here it is in Revelation chapter 20, and it's verse 1 through 7. Now, you notice that it's 20, verse 1 through 7. But God does something important that he wants me to see, okay? And I don't know what year he did this now, Pastor Ben. I know it was a long time ago, but I remember being in an office and nearly falling off my seat, right? And so it says here, okay, it says, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. You see that? I have it in red so that you can see. And then it said, he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loose for a little while. Then it says, I saw thrones and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshiped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Then it says, but the rest of the dead did not come, did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And then verse 7 starts off like this. It says, and when the 1,000 years will expire, Satan will be released from his and that would be the seventh verse. So the Lord made me stop right there, and he said, how many seven? I mean, how many times was 1,000 mentioned in those seven verses? So I underlined them, and I said six. And he said, what verse is it? It's chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. He said, is that the same year as you ended the 6,000-year count? I went, oh, now I'm in the office like, oh, I got to show everybody this. This is crazy, you know. And I'm like, okay, so God, you made sure 6,000 was there to let me know that the 2017 is exactly 6,000 years. It has to be, because Jesus is born 17 years before, okay, the 4,000th year, okay? So That was something the Lord has showed me. Now I began to look at some of the other prophecies. And I'm going to read this. Now, what are the chances if God counted 6,000 years ahead that it would end in 2017? Exactly 70 years from 1947, the year the UN announced that they would give Israel back to the Jews. Exactly 50 years from the time of the Six-Day War that the Jews won back Jerusalem, 1967. Exactly 100 years from the Balfour Accord, 1917, when the British announced they would give the Holy City back to the Jews. You can find the 6,000 year count at the end of this document, and this is a part of our Hebrew courses, and it says, I am getting ahead of myself, let me talk about the 1948th year. So I was like, okay, now I'm like, I don't want to get all deep into that, let me get back to this. Okay, Exodus chapter 12, we just read that, so we don't have to go through that, but let's go to the next page. Okay, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 17. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. If you have your Bibles with you. Are you there? Oh, you guys don't have Bibles? You have phones?
We have real Bibles, sir.
Okay, praise God. Now watch this, okay? Now, I want to make sure you understand. This is a prophecy, okay? Now, this is a prophecy. Now, watch this. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led him up to the high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just then, there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Okay? Now, what day did this happen? After the sixth day. What's the day after the sixth day? Yom Shishi is the sixth day. Shabbat is the seventh day. Why did you just say, instead of saying after the sixth day, why did you just say it was on Shabbat and this would happen? Because that's not what God is trying to show you. He's saying, after the sixth day, I'm going to appear in my glory to two different type of people. And what two different type of people are those? One of them died. Who died? Moses. One of them never died. Elijah. So he's standing and he has two people representing the two people that are going to be with him when he's in glory. It's going to be people who never died and people who died but are resurrected and are alive, right? So this is a prophecy. It says after the sixth day. It doesn't say on Shabbat because this is not about the Shabbat. God is letting you know what's going to happen. But when does he say it happens? After the sixth day. So if a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, that means we would have to get past the sixth day. So when we got to 2017, we were not looking for this event to happen before the 6,000th year. It happens after the 6,000th year. And after the 6,000th year is 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. This is all after the sixth day, which makes us perfect candidates to see this event.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read another one, and that's in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Let's go there. Okay, you're chapter 2, John. It says, watch this. On the third day, a wedding took place in Canaan of Galilee. Okay? And it says, Jesus' mother was there, Okay? When we at the wedding feast, you think Jesus' mother will be there? The mother of the groom? Of course she's going to be there. And it says, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they have no more wine. Dear woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time is not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Nearby stood six stone water pots, the kind used for the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding 20 to 30 gallons of water. Okay, so now if you go and look at this, it says there was some ceremonial, these pots, these big jars were used for ceremonial washing. When they filled these up, with water, because when the women, they were for, like, after the woman has a child, for cleansing, okay? So this water, these jars were for ceremonial washing, for after a woman has a child, for cleansing, right? They're at a wedding feast. They're at a wedding a ceremony. And someone says, well, they always are just naturally there. I don't think that's the point. The point is God wants you to know that they were there. So therefore, a child is being born and a marriage is happening at the same day.
Wow.
So then it says 120 is, which is 120 times is six times. The first jar would be 120. Then the 130 is the 180 days, which is the 7 years and 6 months that we're being shown the glory of God while he's giving the party. So all of this stuff is talking about the rapture. Now, the rapture doesn't happen until the third day, but the third day after what? Because we're counting 1,000-year days. You see the chart that I put there together for you? It says counting God's days. Yes. If we count from Jesus, we would have to start from the 4,000th year. You see that? So 2 days after Jesus would have been 2017. So 2018, 2019, 2020 is what? Early morning on what? The third day. So that qualifies us to be a part of this wedding because it happens on the third day. You understand? Are you guys watching this? Because I want us to know and understand. Jesus is there at the 4,000. So once we get the 5,000, 1 day. We get the 6,000, 2 days. 6,000 was 2017. 18, 19, 20, 21. We're early morning on the third day. So the wedding happens when? On the third day. The transfiguration happens when? On the sixth day since Adam, but the third day since Jesus.
Yeah.
You see that? What do you say when somebody do the hiccup? Gesundheit?
Bless you.
No, I guess. I thought it was okay. I don't know. Okay. That was a loud one. Okay, now, I want you guys to see something else. If you're not confused now, I don't want you to be more confused, okay? Okay, now, it says, now it came to pass, and I'm looking at the word hasel in the Greek, and it says, and they put about. This is not about, is as it were, okay? So it says, now it came to pass, as it were, 8 days. After these sayings, he took Peter, John, James, and went up to the mountain to pray. So you get this same transfiguration, but now he's saying it's going to happen on the eighth day. When's the eighth day? After the 1,000-year millennium. After he completely destroys Satan, then a new heaven and a new earth comes down, and who's in the presence of glorified God? People who have died and are resurrected, and people who never died and are resurrected. But that will be after the millennium. So God makes sure that he puts it twice here. Once it'll happen in the sixth, and then it'll happen in the eighth. You understand? So both times he will be in glory. Are you getting this? Praise God. See, I like you. I'm going to just teach to you because she's getting it. So it's God that's like, he's letting you know when it's going to happen. And he's letting you know there was not going to be a rapture before the end of the sixth day.
Right.
Know how we know? Because there's not going to be a transfiguration and Jesus standing there with raptured and with people who died and are resurrected and people who never died and are resurrected. That's not going to happen until after the sixth day. And there will not be a wedding till the third day.
Right.
So therefore, we are now understanding that 3 days after 3,000, in the 3,000th year, how is it 3,000? Because once you get past 6,000, you're early morning on the third day after Christ.
Right.
Early morning on the third day after Christ. Now watch this. I'm reading here the next scripture, and it says, we have to understand this, okay? It's 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20. It's on your notes, but I want you to look at this, okay? Now, it says this. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. What happened in this chapter here? David is about to go out and destroy Goliath. He's about to go out and destroy the 666 giant. But when does he go out? Early in the morning. I want you guys to be on the same page with me. It's early in the morning when? When is Jesus coming back? If 2028, that's still early in the 6,000. Yeah. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So that's early in the morning on the third day, Jesus is going to come and destroy the 666 giant. So David gets up early in the morning. I'm trying to explain to you, it will not be 6,079.
Right.
It will not be 6,075. You understand? It will be early in the 6,000s. Which means, what is, even if he comes back in the 28th, you're still only like, what, 10 years after the third day begins, right? And so David wakes up early in the morning, he gathers what he needs for battle, and he goes out, he kills the 6'6 giant, when? Early in the morning on the third day, okay? Which puts us in position to say, well, we know we're on the third day because Jesus has been gone 2,000 years. Has he been gone more than 2,000 years? Yes, more than 2,000. So that means we're on the third day. A day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. 1,000, 2,000, we're early morning on the third day. David is going to come early in the morning. He's going to come early in the morning and fight that battle. Okay. Here we go. We're talking about here the 19-year separation prophecy. I think it's in 1 Kings or 2 Kings. Let's go there so that I don't. Okay, I got 1 Kings. It might be 2 Kings, and I didn't change it. It may be. Does 2 Kings have a 25? Yeah, it's 2 Kings. So I apologize for that. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter 25, and we're going to be in verse 8. Okay. Now I'm going to explain something to you. Nebuchadnezzar, when he came into power, he first went to Israel and took all the Jews out of Judah, okay? He came into Israel and he took all of the Jews out of Judah and he marched them into Babylon. He went to Jerusalem and there was a king, I think it was Zedekiah, And he says to him, hey, I'm going to let you stay here with a group of Jewish people, and I'm going to let you reign and rule over Jerusalem, and you just reign and rule over Jerusalem in this country, and you'll be my vassal king. And so as long as you obey me, I'll let you rule over these people in Jerusalem. But the other people around Judah, I'm taking them to Babylon. So this king stays here, and he's in compliance with Nebuchadnezzar. He's doing what Nebuchadnezzar, but then he starts listening to the prophets telling him, oh, you know, God is going to remove Nebuchadnezzar in 2 years. And don't, you know, you need to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. And so finally the king says, you know, you're right, you false prophets. I'm going to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. So he rebels against Nebuchadnezzar. And when he rebels, Nebuchadnezzar now goes to Jerusalem, burns down the temple, and now takes all of the people out of Jerusalem to Babylon. So now all of Israel and all of Jerusalem is empty. And this is the scripture that gives it to you. It says here, on the seventh day of the fifth month, in what year? In the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the commander of the imperial guard, an official of the king of Babylon, came to where? Jerusalem. He set fire to the temple, the royal palace, and all the house of Jerusalem. Every important building was burned down. The whole Babylonian army was under the commander of the imperial guard, broke down the walls around Jerusalem. So Jerusalem doesn't get destroyed until when? 19 years later. This is why Israel gets the land in 1948. They have no control over Jerusalem. In 1948, they got the land back. They're celebrating. We got our, the Jerusalem is back. But remember, Jerusalem didn't get destroyed till 19 years later. So when is it scheduled for them to get Jerusalem back? 1967. Who scheduled that? God did in 2 Kings chapter 25. He said 19 years later they'll get Jerusalem back. So then in 1967, everybody should have known. They should have said, you know what? We got Jerusalem back 19 years later. So that means right after we're back in there in 1948, don't worry. 19 years later, we're going to get Jerusalem back. How do you know? It's in the Bible, right? But who's writing this? Who's putting it all in there and setting dates? God. So we have to understand something. Now, listen to this as well. World War I started July 28, 1914, on the 9th of Av. Do you know when the 9th of Av is? The same day that the temple was destroyed. So World War I starts on the 9th of Av, the exact day that both temples are destroyed. So it means like God's involved in this, right? So that, watch this. 19 years later, Adolf Hitler is named Chancellor of Germany. So God separated the time of the World War I starting, and he says, oh, 19 years later, they're going to get back. They're going to get, Hitler is going to be Chancellor. And so therefore, now you're starting a whole nother count that began with the destruction of Babylon, just in the setting up of World War I and Hitler becoming Chancellor. Did God know that it would be 19 years later that Hitler would become chancellor?
Yep.
Of course. Does God know that there's going to be a Hitler? Of course. Why, how do we know that? Because in Esther, Haman tries to destroy all the Jews, right? And then Haman gets killed and his two sons get hung. God names each of the 10 sons in the book of Haman, book of Esther. And in the 10 names, he puts jots and tittles that tell you that this event's going to happen again in 1946 or 5707. And it happens. Hitler dies, then his 10 henchmen get hung, the same as Haman. So that means God even knew about that. You understand? So everything is under God's control as far as how history has gone and where we are to today. Now, if 1917 was a jubilee, and we talked about this, I think, last week or a couple weeks. We talked about this last week, I think. If 1917 was a jubilee, and it was prophesied by Samuel Judah, right? And when did he prophesy it? He prophesied it in 1217. Samuel Judah, Rabbi Samuel Judah, made his prophecy on his deathbed in 1217 about all of the jubilees. And he says, oh, in 1517, the Turks are going to take Jerusalem. And they're going to keep it for 8 jubilees. Okay? So that means 400 years later, he says, then Israel will get the land, get Jerusalem back, and it happened in 1917. So it's like, if God is controlling all prophecy, and then he wants us to know. This is why I was so excited. I was so excited because I'm like, how is this? I said, I don't want to go. Leviticus chapter 25. It says, I want you to read it later. It says, in the year of Jubilee, all land returns to the rightful owner. So that means every Jubilee, God declares that who the land belongs to. It happened in 1917. It happened in 1967. Then in 2017, I'm waiting around because I'm like, this is a prophecy. If this is the 120th Jubilee, then somebody has to declare that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews.
Yeah.
Trump does it. And no, and a lot of people didn't understand the significance of it. But it was God saying, I'm still in charge.
Amen.
I'm still in control of man. I'm still in control of earth. I'm the one who picked the Jubilees. I'll tell you when the Jubilee is. And now I'm going to have this guy pronounce to the world the 120th Jubilee and move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And a lot of people didn't catch that. First of all, his name is Trump. His son-in-law's name is Gerard, which means shall come down. Trumpet shall come down. His vice president's name is Pence. Trump Pence shall come down. So it's like, okay, God, you're just kind of playing these games with our heads right now, right? All of this is going on. I'm going to show you something, and this has nothing to do with this, but I want to show you that God has been. I'm going to use my hand. I'm going to use the towel, Pastor Ben. You could wash it later. Now watch this. I'm going to show you guys something. Okay? Now watch this. You guys know who Tim Tebow is? Okay. Tim Tebow wore a scripture on his helmet that said what? John 3:16. After they won the national championship, his coach pulled him aside and said, 92 million people went to go look what the scripture said that you had John 3:16. And he says, wow, that's crazy. 3 years later, he's in the NFL. And he says, okay, if we win this playoff game, then we get to play the Patriots. It's exactly 3 years from the time that he wore John 3:16 and won the national championship. So he throws in that game to win the game. He throws for 316 yards. Okay? I think he rushed for like 3.16 yards. Everything had 3.16. Everything was 3.16. Now, he tells this when he goes and he's witnessing about people, and he doesn't know Hebrew, so he really doesn't understand what happened. So I'm going to show you what happened. That's Yah, okay? That's 10 and 5. That's 15. What number did Tebow wear? 15. They kick off to the Broncos, and it goes in the end zone, so they bring it out to the 20-yard line. That means they need 80 yards to make a touchdown. The first play, they throw to one guy who's wearing number 88, which is, he's wearing number 88, and he goes for 80 yards. The zero has no value. So Yah threw to who? What is 888 in Greek? Jesus. So Yahweh threw to Jesus, and they won the game and for 316. The 80 yards gave him 316 in the whole thing. So it's like God is like, look, if you don't catch it, it's not my fault. It's you because you're not watching. Did God know that Tebow would wear 15 in the NFL? Yes, that's my number. Yah is Yod. Hey, that's the ultimate name. That's God. Did he know that this guy was going to wear 88? He had to wear 88. And he had to catch the ball. And he had to go for 80 yards to be 888. So all of the history that I told you is God letting you know, first of all, we are all in a perfect time for rapture. We are all in a perfect time for a wedding and a perfect time for Jesus to show up and stand in the clouds with who? Some people who died and are resurrected and some people who never died but are standing there with resurrected bodies. You understand? Everything. We're in perfect. There's no reason for anyone to be discouraged about rapture. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the rapture and the foolish notions that some people have concerning the rapture, like, oh, it's not going to happen to the end. Oh, it's not going to happen to the middle. Very well-known guy going big rapture channel, he goes, well, the Antichrist is not going to show up till the middle of the tribulation, so therefore there'll be no rapture before the middle of the tribulation. And I just looked and I went, how did he get? And then the first thing he wants to know, would you like to be a Patreon and support the ministry? I'm like, no, you don't even know anything. So tomorrow we're going to have to look. This event that we're in perfect time for has been planned since Genesis chapter 2. Yeah. And I think God planned it before. But the first time you see it, the rapture is Genesis chapter 2. Then as you go through the Bible, you're going to see the rapture happen again and again and again and again, because God is telling you there's going to be a wedding. A matter of fact, there's going to be two weddings. You know what I mean? But there's going to be a Gentile wedding first. Then there's going to be a Jewish wedding after. And he's just going story after story, book after book. And all of them are about the same event. One bride has a lot of kids. The other bride doesn't have any kids to the very end. Is that every story? Some Jewish guy's going to marry a Gentile bride. Is that every story? Moses, Joseph. Okay, I'm going to stop because I'm going to get into tomorrow's Bible study. But you have to see how in your face the rapture is, and the foolish notions that people get that the church will go through half of it, or the church will be in it till the end. It's so foolish, you would have to take out half of the scriptures in the Bible to believe either one of them. The only thing that measures right is that Israel is owed 7 years and the church has to be gone for them to get it back. We will see you tomorrow. God bless you guys.
Amen.
And thank you for my new, this is too cool. I'm gonna put it,
so nice.
This is gonna be a necklace.
That is
praise God.
Nice. Amen.